Welcome to episode 7 of season 3 of Read by the Author. Tonight we are continuing with Time Anomaly, and I'm really excited. I left you guys on a terrible cliffhanger last week. I'm so sorry. So we will finish up part 1 of Time Anomaly tonight, and that'll be chapters 16 and 17. And then we'll head back into the present day next week. So let's get back to the story. 16. Grab and smash. My attempted scream died out in a strangled gurgle.
Quiet now, chosen of Ra, Winnie said in the original tongue. Or rather, Apep said in the original tongue. He tilted his head from side to side, stretching his neck. It was as though Apep was trying to make himself fit more comfortably in Winnie's skin. I am going to release you. If you scream, those human guards will come in here and I will kill them, and then I will kill you. If you are quiet, I will let them live. Do you understand?
I made a choking noise, which was as much as I could manage with him cutting off my air supply.
I will take that as assent.
Apep Winnie loosened his hold enough that I could breathe, but he didn't let me go. He walked me backward until my back was pressed against a rough wall. The uneven bricks jabbed into me, but that was the least of my problems.
You said you would release me.
My voice was little more than a hoarse whisper.
So I did.
He removed his hand from my throat with a flourish and rested his palms on the wall on either side of my head. When he leaned in, my whole body stiffened, and when he ran his nose down one side of my neck and up the other, I squeezed my eyes shut and held my breath, not crying out for help. Was one of the hardest things I had ever done.
The mighty prince did not lie,
Apep Winnie said. He pulled away just enough that I could see his eyes. They were entirely black now, the inky darkness that signified Apep's presence sliding around the surface of his irises like oil on water.
I thought surely he had sampled what the new Netjer'at queen has to offer, but it would seem you are as yet untouched, both by the prince and the king.
My heart was racing, and I attempted to take regular, even breaths to slow it, but it only beat faster.
What do you want?
He leaned in slowly, and I turned my face away as much as possible. Stopping just short of my cheek, he inhaled deeply.
What do you think I want?
Nguyen's shoot? Your shoot? I do not know. I said, watching him out of the corner of my eye.
Much as I might enjoy taking your body, we do not have time for that.
Flashing a smile that held no warmth, he pushed off the wall and turned away from me.
Winnie is very upset in here.
He tapped the side of his head.
You should hear him screaming away. He thinks Haru will kill him.
Why would Haru kill him?
For what he is about to do,
Apep Winnie said, still wearing that grin. It was a grin of warning, a grin of pure malevolence. I swallowed, my saliva feeling too viscous.
Why would you want Haru to kill Winnie?
Apep Winnie scanned me from head to toe, slowly.
I do not care either way, but it will happen nonetheless. A mere byproduct of what I am going to do to you. To send a message. He will have no choice.
I blinked rapidly, forcing back tears and wishing my borrowed powers hadn't been locked away. If I had been able to shift spatially, then I would have been able to save my own damn self, except then Apep would know that either his or Nguyen's shoot was in me, and he would tear it out. There was no need to do anything to me. I will pass on whatever message you wish, please.
But I feel the message will be much clearer with your heart torn out of your body.
I gulped. He took a step toward me. Another. I glanced at the doorway open to the busy street, then at the doorway leading deeper into the home.
Nowhere to run, lovely Netjer'at queen.
He was only a step away. Holding my breath, I reached for his shoulder and kneed him in the groin. As hard as I could. Had Apep been possessing a Netjer'at body, he probably could have evaded the strike, but Winnie was a regular human. Apep Winnie hunched over, and I took the opening to bolt for the exit. I only made it 2 steps. He snagged my ankle, tripping me.
I skidded to the floor, my palms and knee taking the brunt of the impact. I kicked backward to break his hold on my ankle, but his grip was solid. He yanked me closer. The skirt of my dress caught on the edges of the mud bricks, twisting around me and hiking at my legs while a pepwenny flipped me over onto my back and pulled me closer still.
"Nguyen took what was rightfully mine," he said, trying to hold my legs down as I kicked at him. "Until he gives it back, I will continue to take what is his. I will destroy every single thing he holds dear, starting with you."
"Heru!" I screamed. "Heru!" A Pepwenny's face contorted with rage.
"You stupid whore."
He snagged my ankle again, this time with both hands. I kicked my other foot, aiming for his face, but he moved aside and caught my leg under his arm. He twisted my ankle sharply, and my bones responded with a sickening crunch. A bright wash of agony surged up my leg, making me instantly nauseated and filling my vision with stars.
"Heru!"
I cried out again. And then the guards were there, trying to pull a Pepwenny away from me, but he maintained his hold on my ankle, and a second wave of agony washed through me, eclipsing the first. My succeeding cry sounded barely human.
"Alexandra?"
It was Heru.
"What?"
He came into view in a blur, grabbing a Pepwenny's wrist and twisting it in a way that jarred my ankle again before forcing him to release his hold on me. Snarling something at the guards, Heru wrapped a hand around a Pepwenny's neck and lifted him, slamming him against the nearest wall. The guards rushed out of the building so quickly that I wondered whether Heru had threatened them or sent them for help. I squeezed my eyes shut, fighting off waves of nausea.
"Heru,"
I rasped, "you have to stop." But when I opened my eyes, the scene was the same. He was still holding a Pepwenny in a death grip. It wouldn't be long until Wenny's body ran out of air.
"Let him go, Heru. You cannot kill him. He had no control over what he was doing."
I might as well have been talking to a statue.
"You do not understand, Heru. It was not Wenny. He was possessed."
Heru flinched, but he still didn't let up, like he couldn't hear me through his rage. He was about to kill his friend. Wenny was about to die for something he hadn't even done. Not really. I couldn't let that happen. I scooted closer and, leaning on my hip, sat up as much as I could. I raised my hand, trailing my nails down the skin on the side of Heru's torso. I knew how much Marcus loved that, so I was betting on his earlier counterpart being equally receptive to a gentle touch on that sensitive flesh. He raised his free arm, and I thought he might actually strike me.
"Heru?"
I said softly. He froze mid-swing and looked down, his eyes wide with horror at what he had almost done.
"You have to let..."
My words caught in my throat as an inky mist, darker than pitch, started seeping out of Wenny's mouth, nose, and ears. It was a pep, leaving Wenny's body. Heru released him, immediately crouching down to scoop me up with an arm under my knees and one behind my shoulders. By the time his friend sank to the floor, slumping over onto his shoulder, we were on the opposite side of the room, and darkness still poured out of Wenny.
"What is that?"
Heru asked, his voice harsh. I wrapped my arms around his neck and pulled his head lower so his ear was near my lips.
"It can still hear us," I whispered. "I will tell you once we return to the villa."
I heard a cough and loosened my hold on Haru's neck so we could both watch Wenny. The darkness was still fading as it oozed out one of the open-air windows set high in the wall, and Wenny was leaning on his forearms, hacking up nothing but air. He glanced at us and reached out a hand for the briefest moment, then continued dry-heaving on the floor.
"It was not Wenny who hurt me. He was not in control," I told Heru. "We need to get him to a healer."
"Your ankle is broken,"
he said, ignoring my demand.
"We need to get you back to the villa so it can be set before it heals incorrectly and must be rebroken."
I cringed, hoping that wouldn't be the case, but considering the residual kick Nguyen's powers had given to my regenerative abilities, if we waited even 10 or 15 minutes, it would start to heal. I wasn't a big fan of the rebreaking of any part of my body.
"Do you know how to do it?"
I asked him.
"I do, but there are others who are far more skilled, so..."
I looked into the golden and black depths of his eyes, working up my courage.
"You have to do it, right now." Haru started shaking his head. I do not think. I cut him off. I regenerate faster than most. Still holding me close against his torso, Haru studied me. Finally, he said,
Nguyen is the father of our kind. Are you the mother?
I am unsure of your meaning.
Are you as ancient as Nguyen? Are you one of the first of our kind?
I scowled. Do I look as ancient as him? I said, knowing full well the ridiculousness of the retort. To most, Nguyen and Haru would appear to be identical twins in the prime of their lives, early 30s at the oldest, regardless of the fact that Nguyen was far, far older. But pain was clouding the part of my mind that thought logically. Do not answer that, I said with a sigh. I am young. In fact, you are ancient compared to me.
His eyes widened, then narrowed. And yet you heal more quickly than those who are far older?
I gritted my teeth and squeezed my eyes shut. Yes, consider it another one of those secrets you are so desperate to learn. I opened my eyes and focused on his. And if you continue to delay setting my ankle, it will have to be rebroken, and then I will hate you forever. For some reason, that earned me a half smile.
I doubt you will hate me forever.
I responded with raised eyebrows and a pointed stare.
Or perhaps you will.
He took a deep breath, then exhaled heavily and did something that both shocked and delighted me. He pressed his lips to my forehead in the tenderest of kisses.
I apologize for the pain I am about to inflict, he whispered.
I forgive you, I breathed. My pulse had reverted to a pace nearly as quick and erratic as it had been when I'd been grappling with a pep. I knew Haru could hear the change and hoped he attributed it. I knew Haru could hear the change and hoped he attributed it to fear. Gently, Haru set me on the floor and knelt at my feet. He tore a wide strip from the bottom of my dress, twisted it into a short strip of makeshift rope, and handed it to me.
You will want to bite down on this.
Tell me when you're going to do it, I said before placing the rolled-up linen in my mouth. Holding my gaze, Haru tugged on part of my foot. The pain was mind-shattering. It became my whole world. I screamed. And then I passed out. 17. One and only. The dazzling rainbow of colors swarmed around me, a chaos of reds, blues, greens, golds, and everything in between. The aught was so brilliant, so much brighter than it was in my time period, and I couldn't help but wonder why. Because the nothingness had dimmed it in my time? Something else? Everything, the aught, my ba, the non-existent ground beneath my non-existent feet, lurched, and the colors wavered, shimmered like I was viewing them through water, and faded to the less intense colors I was more familiar with. Apparently Nguyen's block didn't work on my ba when it was outside of my body, because I was fairly certain I had just jumped through time, or rather, like being yanked by a bungee cord. My ba had returned to its own time, Marcus's time. It didn't matter. Not at the moment. There was no way I was about to waste this opportunity. Whether it was because I was a product of two of the most powerful Nezharet lines, or because I had grown up with a sliver of Nguyen's shoot tucked safely inside me, I was capable of doing pretty much anything any other Nezharet or Nezharet could do. And this included tracking, the ability to hunt down the ba of any other Nezharet. If Marcus was in the aught, I could find him. If he was in the aught. I closed my eyes and thought of him, and only him. Marcus. 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 Marcus.
Is this real?
My eyelids snapped open. Marcus, wearing his usual immaculate charcoal slacks and white button-down shirt, looking so beautiful and perfect and exactly what I needed to see at that moment, was standing right in front of me, surrounded by the dulled colors of the aught. His eyes were round, his lips parted, his unbreakable composure shattered. Hesitantly, he raised his hand, almost like he thought trying to touch me would break the illusion.
Dom told me, but I didn't believe him. Are you really here?
Yes, I lunged forward, throwing myself at Marcus. His arms wrapped around me, so warm and strong, so comforting, so right. I inhaled his spicy scent and lifted my face to his, not willing to waste any time on teasing kisses. Apparently Marcus was of the same mind, because he crushed his lips against mine, devouring me with a kiss filled with need and desperation. A kiss that I thought, just maybe, could pull me all the way back to him, utterly and completely. Breaking the kiss, I gasped for air and looked into his eyes, drowning in those golden pools filled with so much warmth and love. How long? Marcus rested his forehead against mine, breathing just as hard as I was. I fisted my hands in the back of his shirt. How long have I been gone, Marcus? He closed his eyes.
A little over a day.
Which fit with how long I had been in ancient Egypt, confirming Nguyen's claim that my body, my Ba, would remain anchored to its native timeline. Did it set? The Aat started shimmering. No, I didn't want to go back. I wanted to stay with Marcus, to remain in this placeless portion of the Aat. Forever. Marcus's fingers clenched on either side of my head, and once again he brought his mouth down to mine. The Aat lurched, and he vanished. His voice drifted through the momentary fissure of time, a distant echo trailing after me.
Love you, little Ivanov, always.
I came back to consciousness, lying on something as hard as stone, my head resting on something warmer and softer. A lap, I realized. A single, shallow breath identified the owner of the lap. Marcus. Ever so softly, he was brushing his fingers through my hair. Contentment filled me, and I smiled. I opened my eyes and drank in the sight of him as I raised my hand. I skimmed my fingertips over the barely there stubble shadowing his jawline, then over the velvety softness of his lips. Do you have any idea how much I love you? Desire darkened his eyes, but he pulled my hand away from his face.
You know I do not speak your language, he said in Nguyen's tongue.
What? I asked, automatically switching to the same language.
You are confused.
He smiled faintly, and there was sadness in the expression.
I think you have mistaken me for your husband.
I blinked several times.
I am Haru, not Nguyen.
Nguyen, I repeated, and like a dam had been broken in my mind, my wits rushed back to me. Nguyen is my husband.
He is,
Haru agreed, still caressing my hair.
Though I cannot say I lack envy for his position.
Before I could formulate a response, he said,
You were right. You do heal more quickly than most. After you lost consciousness, I had to re-break several areas multiple times to set your bones in the correct alignment.
A shadow of a smile crossed his face.
I am just grateful that you did not actually feel most of it.
How long was I out?
Less than a quarter of an hour. The swelling has gone down some. Soon it should be stable enough that I can carry you back to the villa without risking unsetting anything.
He placed his palms on the floor on either side of him, and his arm muscles bulged as he tensed to move out from under me. Before I realized what I was doing, my fingers wrapped around his nearest wrist. I glanced at the place where I was holding on to him, and up at his face. Please, stay. There was a moment of indecision before he relaxed back against the wall. Thank you. I wished he would continue stroking my hair, but I was pretty sure requesting as much would put an end to this stolen moment. How is Wenny? I turned to look across the room. The dockmaster was still passed out on the floor near the opposite wall, unconscious but, thankfully, not dead. Oh.
Can you tell me what happened now?
Haru asked, drawing my attention back up to him.
What was that? That smoke.
Look at me, I said. Haru muttered something in the common tongue, then sighed and gazed down at me. There was no oily darkness, only the usual black-banded gold. A Nezaret could get lost in those eyes. Haru cleared his throat. You can tell when the spirit is possessing someone by looking into their eyes. The darkness swims around just below the surface. Haru's brow furrowed, but he remained silent. I lowered my voice. The spirit is called a pep, and Haru's eyebrows rose.
A pep?
Shh, I hissed, placing my hand over his mouth. I could feel his lips curve into a smile, and laughter danced in his eyes. Stop it, Haru, this is serious. The teasing light in his eyes faded.
I know, he said against my hand.
I pulled it away from his mouth.
Again, apologies. Forgive me?
I crossed my arms over my chest and scrunched up my face, pretending to think really, really hard.
Oh, he laughed. Who is not taking the matter seriously now?
Lips pressed together, I smiled up at him. I held his gaze for several seconds before sighing. A pep is the disembodied spirit of a being of equal power to Nuin.
And to you,
Haru said, his expression intent. Yes, and of equal power to me. I took several breaths to collect my thoughts as I decided how to proceed. A pep is capable of possessing the physical form of a human or Netcher'at, or any being, for all I know.
Why did he not possess you?
Haru asked.
Would it not make sense for him to seek out the most powerful host?
It would, I said slowly, but the full extent of my power is somewhat hidden. He did not know.
But still, you are Netcher'at, where Wenny is merely human.
Haru frowned.
For that matter, a pep did not try to possess me, either, and either of us would seem to be a more desirable host.
I mirrored Haru's frown and shook my head. He had other plans for me, but why he did not attempt to possess you, that I do not know. I made a mental note to ask Nuin about it once we returned to the villa.
Why does he do it? Possess people?
I was quiet for a moment. Nuin has something that once belonged to him, but a pep abused it, so he lost the privilege to retain it. Now he wanders around from body to body, seeking out a way to make it his again.
Is that what he was doing here? Trying to make you his again?
My eyebrows rose. Me?
It is you, is it not? This thing a pep is after?
No, a pep is after his shoot. As soon as the words left my mouth, I scowled. I should not have told you that. You must unhear it. That earned me another tantalizing half-smile.
So why did he come after you?
I looked away, unable to meet Haru's intense eyes while I told him. He said I was a message. He said, Nuin took what is rightfully mine. Until he gives it back, I will continue to take what is his. When I returned my gaze to Haru's, his jaw was clenched and there was death in his eyes.
Did he?
He swallowed roughly.
Violate you?
I shook my head and a tear escaped as I replayed the horrifying minutes in my mind. He told me he would kill the guards and then kill me if I screamed, so I kept quiet until I knew for sure what he was going to do. He told me he was going to... I took a deep breath. He was going to tear my heart out of my chest. So I fought, and when that proved futile, I called out to you. I cleared my throat, remembering the all-encompassing fear, closely followed by the nauseating pain. That was when he broke my ankle.
So much courage,
Haru murmured. Not enough courage, I thought as I stared up at him. Electricity seemed to arc between our gazes. A groan came from the opposite side of the room, breaking the mounting tension.
See? Haru said, clearing his throat. He did not require a healer after all.
Why did you not send somebody for one once I was unconscious? He could have died.
Wenny? No, he is too stubborn to go like that.
Wenny grumbled something and Haru laughed, but when Wenny's words gained more coherency, Haru's expression sobered. He spoke to his friend, concern evident in his eyes. Is he okay? I asked.
He is apologizing and ordering me to beg you for your forgiveness, praising your unmatched beauty.
I rolled my eyes.
And professing his eternal loyalty.
Haru frowned for a moment and said something to Wenny in a harsh tone. Stop being mean, I told Haru. He returned his attention to me, his eyebrows raised.
I thought you did not understand the common language.
And I do not, but even I can tell you are being a butthead. For a moment, Haru said nothing. Then he was laughing, full and booming.
A butthead? That may be the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Ever.
Well, some things translate better than others, I muttered.
So it would seem. I do not blame you,
Nguyen told Haru. Haru continued pacing back and forth across Nguyen's sitting room, exactly as he had been doing ever since he and I returned at dusk. I was settled in the chair opposite Nguyen at the Senate table, petting Russ, who was sound asleep on my lap, and watching Haru like he was a one-man tennis match. Haru looked at me, then shot a scathing glare at Nguyen.
Who you blame is up to you, as is who I blame. Do you have any idea what almost happened to her? I take it that you blame me,
Nguyen said.
How could I not? Haru snapped. You should have told me of this enemy. Had I known the potential danger that stalked her, I never would have left her side.
And how would you suggest I protect her in the future?
Haru said nothing, just continued pacing.
Would you stay by her side at all times if it meant she would be safe?
I would, Haru said without hesitation.
Nguyen nodded.
Done.
Finally, Haru's pacing faltered, and he faced us.
I do not understand.
You will stay by her side.
Haru shook his head.
I thought you were asking what I would do if I were you.
I did not mean. Haru looked at me, and whatever he saw on my face, possibly the hurt in my eyes, or maybe the defiance at his rejection, stopped him from finishing what he had been about to say. He stared at me for a long moment, then bowed his head.
I would gladly accept this duty.
Very well, Nguyen said with a note of finality. You will be Alexandra's blade, both her companion and her protector, at all times, unless I am with her and give you leave. You will teach her to defend herself, and if she still desires it, to speak the common tongue. You will be responsible not only for her safety, but for ensuring that all her needs are tended to.
I nearly choked at the double meaning behind Nguyen's words. There were a few needs Haru most certainly couldn't tend to, not without signing his own death warrant. Bonding between us wouldn't happen. It couldn't happen.
You can have tonight to take care of those matters that will be neglected during your time with Alexandra.
In other words, I thought, Haru had tonight to put a stopper in his relationship with Onkesenpepi.
Understood, Haru said,
then turned his attention to me.
I will return at the sun's rebirth.
He bowed his head to me and to Nguyen and left the room. I watched him stride away, then shifted my focus to Nguyen. I studied his face, a niggling feeling worming its way into conscious thought. It wasn't a good feeling. I narrowed my eyes. You knew, I said in English. Nguyen blinked and returned my stare, his expression completely blank.
I am not quite certain I know what you're talking about, dear Alexandra.
You knew Apep would come after me, or at least you suspected. I leaned forward, pressing my palms onto the tabletop. That's why you sent us out of the villa in the first place. Shopping was just the most convenient excuse. You wanted Apep to find me. You wanted him to attack me, so you would have a carrot to dangle in front of Haru to get him to fall in line. Nguyen smiled serenely.
Perhaps. And my plan worked quite well, did it not?
I had let myself be lulled by Nguyen's sometimes playful demeanor into thinking he was like me, like the rest of the Nezharet, that there was something of humanity left in him. But I had been a fool. The other Nezharet had all been human at one point. Based on everything I had learned about Apep and Ra Nguyen, I was starting to doubt whether Nguyen had ever lived as anything other than what he was. A god. Apep could have possessed me, Nguyen. He nodded.
He could have. But there was never any danger that he would have.
You don't know that. His grin would have given the Cheshire Cat a run for his money.
But I do. Apep is able to move in and out of any human he wishes to possess at a whim. But he would not risk possessing a Nezharet.
I opened my mouth, but Nguyen raised a hand, cutting me off before I could even start to protest.
He would not risk it, because if he possessed a Nezharet, he would be stuck in that single body until it perished, and that Nezharet could fight against Apep's ability to control his borrowed body for a very long time indeed. If he possessed you, you could fight him for years, centuries even, and he would be trapped within you, unable to leave. Eventually, he would take over, but it would not be immediate, not unless you let him control you.
Why didn't you tell me any of this before?
Nguyen shrugged. It never came up.
Bullshit, he smiled. But what about... Apep was able to leave Set's body to possess Marcus. I raised my eyebrows. So clearly he can leave a Nezharet's body.
Ah, but that is a special case. Apep's shoot, something he is linked to, even if it is no longer fused with the rest of his being, forms something of a bridge between Heru and Set in your time. Apep may use that bridge to move between them, but only sparingly, as possessing Heru's less familiar body would be quite draining on Apep's energy reserves.
After seconds of staring at Nguyen and mulling over his words, I exhaled heavily. As usual, he had made the right choice. His plan had worked. It had hurt like hell, but in the long run, it had worked. You know, I love you, Nguyen, I really do, but you sure can be a sneaky bastard. Sitting back in my chair, I crossed my arms.
Flattery will get you everywhere, dear Alexandra.
It wasn't a compliment. He shrugged.
Are you ready to begin?
I cocked my head to the side. Begin? Nguyen produced the tiny bottle I had created from the fabric of the Aught and handed it across the table to me.
Extracting your bonding essence. Your time with Heru has strengthened you, and now... you're ready to learn how to save his life.
That is it for episode 7 of season 3 of Read by the Author. I will be back next week to continue Time Anomaly with correction. We just finished part 2 of Time Anomaly, and we will be starting part 3 next week, and that is Kat's perspective, which I am so excited about because Kat is my like all-time favorite character that I've ever created, except for maybe Nick. But I'm also really excited because as we get into Kat's perspective, we also get to meet Nick. I'll see you next week.